You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
At last week's Conservative Party convention, Stephen Harper stated his intention to stay the course, focused on the economy and the military. This, he promised, will entrench the Conservatives as Canada's party. Harper elaborated, "We know where our interests lie and who our friends are, and we take strong principled positions in dealing with other nations, no longer just to get along and get along with everyone else's agenda." To examine the military centerpiece of Harper's agenda, I'm joined on the phone by Roger Annis. He's an activist in StopWar.ca, and he's coordinator of Canada-Haiti Action Network. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Indeed, it's good to join you.
Do you have any comment on Harper's words from his address to the Conservative Party convention?
I went over this speech recently, and it's quite striking, as almost sounding like a declaration of war in the world. And what I noted especially was there's no great declaration of principle involved here. Canada will extend its military presence in the world for the following reasons, A, B, and C. No, there's simply a declaration that we're going to do this, that in doing so Canada will defend its national sovereignty and what he calls global security. But as to the pressing problems of global poverty, the climate change crisis, human rights issues, no reference to that whatever, and I think that's what I find the most disturbing in all this. There's no great principle being declared that can even be discussed or debated.
Now, since the election, the government has announced their plans to establish several foreign military bases. They call this Operational Support Hubs Network. Where do they want to put their bases?
Yeah, this is really quite striking for Canada. They have set out to provide themselves with seven operation bases right around the world. The two that, and this was first reported in Le Devoir newspaper, one of the dailies in Quebec, the two countries where they say they have agreements already signed are Germany and Jamaica, and then the five others are to be Kuwait, Senegal, which is in Western Africa, and then a country in Eastern Africa, either Kenya or Tanzania, they hope, then Singapore and South Korea. And it's not clear if these would be active operational bases or simply agreements whereby they can move in on a moment's notice to establish a supply or transport base, whatever it is. It does seem that in the case of Jamaica that they're not talking about establishing large numbers of troops on the ground, but simply having an agreement with Jamaica that a given piece of territory can be taken over on moment's notice for whatever the deemed military requirements are. So a network of Canadian military bases around the world, quite unprecedented in our history.
Yes, and a lot of talk about bases, of course, focuses on the United States, which has more than anywhere else in the world, and in fact, a massive number. But hardly any other country has more than one or two, Russia, China, etc., all these powers. But Canada is now aiming for several, as you say, on multiple continents. Canada's also playing an active role in bombing Libya this week. They got the agreement of Parliament, 294 votes in favor to only one opposed, to extend Canada's military intervention in Libya. And Peter McKay, the defense minister, said, "In tough economic times, this government believes making action-oriented decisions is more essential to NATO security than any other initiative." What do you have to say about the extension of the bombing of Libya?
Well, I think the concerns of people at the outset of this bombing campaign have unfortunately been confirmed. This was declared in the beginning to be an operation that would assist the aspirations of the Libyan people to establish a democracy and to end the violations of human rights and the violent attacks on Libyan citizens that were taking place by the Libyan government. Seems pretty clear that these attacks were indeed taking place, and that what has happened in Haiti and Libya is a genuine popular uprising for democracy and greater social justice in Libya. But it was a stretch to believe that the countries that are currently perpetrating the war in Afghanistan, or who carried through the war in Iraq and numerous other parts of the world, could be the standard bearers of democracy and human rights in Libya. And indeed, what we've seen over the course of the last 3 months is a rather clear shift of this whole operation towards a simple overthrow, straightforward overthrow of the Libyan government and establishment of some kind of NATO imperialist protectorate in Libya. I think it's unfortunate, rather predictable, that this would happen once the NATO military intervention began. And I think it's very unfortunate that only one member of parliament in Ottawa saw fit to vote against extending this campaign.
You mentioned Afghanistan and our military intervention in that country's affairs, and now that's extended under the guise of shifting the soldiers from doing combat to doing something called training. Is this nothing more than a disguise?
Oh, I think so. I mean, first of all, referring earlier to what grand objectives that Stephen Harper talked about in his speech, you know, where's the social and economic development that was supposed to happen in Afghanistan, that was supposed to be the raison d'etre for the military intervention? We hear the same argument made as years and years and years ago. First we have security, then we'll have economic and social development. Well, 10 years later in Afghanistan, 10 years of ruthless and bloody war against the Afghan people, the social and economic development is still waiting to happen. The so-called training mission is simply a continuation of the effort to try and create a reliable military partner within Afghanistan that could be part of overseeing what are the longer-term economic objectives which underlie the military intervention and the war. We've seen this in Haiti since 2004, the presence of a large police and military mission in Haiti that was supposed to provide the famous stability and security that we hear spoken of so much, and then we'll have progress in the country. Well, Haiti, as in Afghanistan, have fallen to the bottom of the rankings of poverty and social development in the world precisely during the time of this foreign military intervention and occupation. So, no, I think for sure there'll be a certain pulling back from the day-to-day combat role that Canada's been engaged in Kandahar province. But this training mission is simply a continuation of the war under a different guise. And, of course, the United States will continue to play the lead military aggressive role in Afghanistan, and Canada will continue to be a very active participant in that.
You mentioned economic interests, and certainly not to be forgotten when discussing militarization of our country are the well-publicized expenditures now that the government is lavishing on the production of warships and fighter bombers, $35 billion for warships, another $30 billion easily for the fighter bombers.
Yeah, the figures are shocking. We spent some time talking about this at the annual general meeting of Stop War last weekend, how we have to join more actively with other Canadians in describing this, what's happening to Canadians, and getting people organized and mobilized. We have tremendous social and economic needs that are required in Canada, in education and healthcare, in the improving the conditions of Canada's Indigenous peoples. We have conditions of terrible social underdevelopment happening around the world, not the least just a few hours' flight away in Haiti. What a disgrace that billions and billions and billions of dollars would be thrown away on these destructive military programs when so many other social needs, not to even speak of the climate crisis and the huge shift in expenditure and a shift in economic priorities that's required to tackle that. So we need to get organized and mobilized in this. We have to stop this the madness of this shift in military spending and draw Canadians' attention to it more and more. That's certainly what we'll be spending more and more time and energy on in Stop War. And we should be paying attention to this in the Vancouver region, because we have at least two, well, we have one military manufacturer already, which is part of the F-35 program, which is Avcora Industries in Delta, B.C., and we have the shipyard in North Vancouver that is, you know, trying very aggressively to be one of the lead manufacturers of these new generations of warships, also including tax breaks and subsidies from the federal and provincial government. So yeah, we this thing is coming very close to home to us here in Vancouver.
So you mentioned what sort of perspective this leads Stop War activists to develop for their work. We now have a major political party, the NDP, having its national convention here, celebrating its electoral expansion. How have they responded to this militarization program that the Harper government is fast-tracking?
Well, I think it's been less than satisfactory. The party voted this past week in the parliament to extend the what I would call the war mission in Libya, which what is now an openly declared mission of overthrowing the Libyan government by force and violence and increasing use of bombs, including on civilian areas, and the ever-present danger of introduction of troops onto the ground, which I think if they're really serious about carrying through the overthrow of the Libyan government, they're probably going to be obliged to do, despite all of their protestations to the contrary. So a very unfortunate stance taken by the party in Ottawa. And I have to say that, you know, we expect more of the NDP. We want the NDP to be more involved with us in campaigning to end the war in Afghanistan, and now the this extension under another name of the so-called police training mission. We want the NDP to be active with us in protests and in education campaigns, because it's going to take more than a few speeches in Parliament, and more than what the forces of the anti-war movement, as they're presently constituted, can bring about to put an end to this. There's big questions about this militarization program, and also the failure of Canadian aid programs internationally that need to be brought into the public realm for greater discussion. There's very little discussion that takes place either in Parliament or in the broad general public about what have Canada's aid programs in Afghanistan amounted to. I think we can say the same thing for Haiti. Haiti's actually now the largest recipient of so-called aid and development money from Canada to another country. I leave aside the military spending in that equation, Haiti number one to Afghanistan now. And so this is part of what we in the anti-war movement are going to be paying more attention to as well. Canadians need to have more accountability for the so-called aid and development projects that are being carried on in their name, because I have to say that these are not these are failed projects. Canada is not bringing meaningful social and economic development to the extent that it's claiming to be. So, sadly, these aid programs really just serve as a certain type of cover for the main objective, which seems to be drives of military occupation and attack.
Well, thanks very much for your time this morning, Roger, and we look forward to hearing a report back on your return from Haiti.
Oh, yes, I look forward to that as well, and it's good to talk to you.
You've been listening to Roger Annis. He's an activist with StopWar.ca and active in Haiti solidarity work.